labels on the screen. Gennaro reached for the phone, but it was dead. No static hissing this time, just nothing at all. What's this?
Give me a second, Arnold said. After a reset, all the system modules have to be brought online manually.
Quickly, he went back to work.
Why manually? Gennaro said. Will you just let me work, for Christ's sake?
Wu said, the system is not intended to ever shut down, so if it does shut down, it assumes that there is a problem somewhere. It requires you to start up everything manually. Otherwise, if there were a short somewhere, the system would start up, short up again, short out again, in an endless cycle.
Okay, Arnold said, we're going.
Gennaro picked up the phone and started to dial when he suddenly stopped.
Jesus, look at that, he said.
He pointed to one of the video monitors, but Arnold wasn't listening. He was staring at the map, where a tight cluster of dots by the lagoon had started to move in a coordinated way, moving fast, in a kind of swirl.
What's happening?
Gennaro said. The duckbills, Arnold said tonelessly. They've stampeded. The duckbills charged with surprising speed, their enormous bodies in a tight cluster, honking and roaring, the infants squealing and trying to stay out from underfoot. The herd raised a great cloud of yellow dust. Grant couldn't see the tyrannosaur. The duckbills were running right toward them. Still carrying Lex, he ran, with Tim, toward a rocky outcrop with a stand of big conifers. They ran hard, feeling the ground shake beneath their feet. The sound of the approaching herd was deafening, like the sound of jets at an airport. It filled the air and hurt their ears. Lex was shouting something, but he couldn't hear what she was saying, and as they scrambled onto the rocks, the herd closed in around them. Grant saw the immense legs of the first hadrosaurs that charged past, each animal weighing 5 tons, and then they were enveloped in a cloud so dense he could see nothing at all. He had the impression of huge bodies, giant limbs, bellowing cries of pain as the animals wheeled and circled. One duckbill struck a boulder, and it rolled past them, out into the field beyond. In the dense cloud of dust, they could see almost nothing beyond the rocks. They clung to the boulders, listening to the screams and honks, the menacing roar of the tyrannosaur. Lex dug her fingers into Grant's shoulder. Another hadrosaur slammed its big tail against the rocks, leaving a splash of hot blood. Grant waited until the sounds of the fighting had moved off to the left, and then he pushed the kids to start climbing the largest tree. They climbed swiftly, feeling for the branches as the animals stampeded all around them in the dust. They went up 20 feet, and then Lex clutched at Grant and refused to go farther. Tim was tired, too, and Grant thought they were high enough. Through the dust, they could see the broad backs of the animals below as they wheeled and honked. Grant propped himself against the coarse bark of the trunk, coughed in the dust, closed his eyes, and waited. Arnold adjusted the camera as the herd moved away. The dust slowly cleared. He saw that the hadrosaurs had scattered, and the tyrannosaur had stopped running, which could only mean it had made a kill. The tyrannosaur was now near the lagoon. Arnold looked at the video monitor and said, "Better get Muldoon to go out there and see how bad it is."
"I'll get him," Gennaro said, and left the room.
The park. A faint crackling sound, like a fire in a fireplace. Something warm and wet tickled Grant's ankle. He opened his eyes and saw an enormous beige head. The head tapered to a flat mouth, shaped like the bill of a duck. The eyes, protruding above the flat duckbill, were gentle and soft like a cow's.